The Catholic Channel Sirius XM 129 presents Just Love with your host, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, Executive Director of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New York.
Welcome to Just Love. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. We are right now in the heart of the most holy, solemn parts of our Catholic Christian calendar. We're in the middle of the sacred Triduum, in which we celebrate the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And depending on when you're listening to this, we are probably right in the middle of that time between the cross of Good Friday and the resurrection of Easter Sunday. So today, we're going to focus on both of those two themes, the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Earlier this week, when we were reading at Mass the readings for today, I was quite struck by one of the passages which recounts the betrayal of Judas in the Gospel. And what I was intrigued by that passage is there's a scene out there in which Judas goes to the leaders, the religious, the civil leaders. He goes to them and he says, "Listen, what will you give me if I turn in Jesus to you?" And thence we get the 30 pieces of silver, and there is the betrayal where Jesus is betrayed by Judas, and Judas has made a deal with the authorities, and he gets paid the 30 pieces of silver to do that. Now, it struck me in the midst of this most holy week, that's a pretty mundane, that's a pretty kind of messy reality where Jesus kind of takes a bribe to turn in Jesus. And then I was thinking about when I look at all my media platforms and everything, almost weekly, I see another public official who maybe is being indicted, maybe even convicted, and, you know, they're taking bribes and stuff like that. Again, I always like to say this, that, you know, we're not talking about all elected officials, all politicians, but unfortunately, there are enough of them that they can fill up the media with those things. And then it struck me as something that's critically important, that as we celebrate these solemn days, the Triduum, you know, sometimes there may have been a thought that what we should do is push aside what's going on in the world around us, and we should just concentrate on the mystery of the cross, the mystery of the tomb, the mystery of the resurrection, and forget about what's going on in the world. And then when I heard that passage earlier this week about Judas really kind of engaging with the authorities, taking a bribe, it struck me that that's instructive, because what we need to do as we celebrate these solemn feasts is not to forget about the world outside of us, but to make that part of our celebration and see how what's going on is united with the cross of Jesus Christ and how it can be transformed by his resurrection. So we don't take things and get rid of them, but we bring them into the mysteries of our faith, and we allow our faith to transform what is going on in the world around us. So this week on Just Love, we're going to do precisely that. So in the first part of our show, we're having a return guest, Fanny Gomez, who is a social media specialist with us at Catholic Charities. And as we did the first time with Fanny, we're again going to look for the mystery of the cross, the mystery of the resurrection, in maybe a wrong place, according to some. We're going to look at it in contemporary music, and music that, quite frankly, we're never going to play in our churches, but we're doing it because this is the music that people have been listening to for years. They're listening to in the world around us. And if we look deep enough, we can find some of those themes of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. It takes a little looking, but this is where everybody is listening to. So we might as figure out how, in the midst of some of that music, which is incredibly dark, some of it is, yeah, admittedly raunchy, some of it has expressions which we do not condone, But in the midst of that, there's stuff going on there in which we can see the mystery of our resurrection. And so that's what we're going to do this week. And then a little bit later on, we're going to speak with Hector Molino, who is a Catholic motivangelist, somebody who speaks the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to focus this Just Love show on the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, but we're going to do it looking at how that impacts what's going on in our world in some places where we might not ordinarily find that. So let's go now to Fanny Gomez. Fanny, thank you so much for being with us on Just Love today and actually coming into the studio.
Thank you for having me back, Monsignor.
So you excited about Holy Week?
I mean, I guess as excited as I should be. Holy Week is supposed to be like a sad time. So yeah, I'm excited.
You're sad?
Yeah, sad.
Why sad?
Well, because then that's when, as you said, Judas gives over Jesus. Jesus crucified. As good as Good Friday should be, because he saved us from, you know, eternal death, it's still sad what we did to him.
Okay. All right. I want a little disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there.
Even
though you think I'm old and decrepit, I wasn't there. So, you know, I know there's a theology which talks about he died for our sins, and so our sins were there, but I wasn't there, believe me.
Okay.
I do enough things in my life that I need to kind of make amendment for, but I wasn't there at the crucifixion.
Okay, you weren't one of the soldiers.
I was not one of the soldiers.
Okay, got it.
Who was there, okay? So what I'd like to do is, there's a song that you pointed out to me called Crossroads.
Yep.
Who wrote that song?
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Do you know the group?
I did when I was growing up, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the group.
So when I was growing up, they were more or less sort of a one-hit wonder. This was their like biggest hit. And it's actually such a weird song to have as your big hit, because it's so dark. And even the video, if anyone gets to watch the video's basically just about the angel of death. So it's very dark.
And the title of the song is
Crossroads.
Crossroads. And so we kind of thought that as we're kind of in that crossroads time between the cross and the resurrection, this would be a good song to explore. We have a clip from that, so let's listen to a clip. And the words are a little bit hard to make out, but we'll read the words to you after we do the clip. But I think you get a sense of the darkness of it from the music.
Somebody really wrong. Everybody wanna test the stuff. Give me sleaze instead of easy to fall. You know I've been sitting in cause the intended no that it didn't win any. Wanna come again and again. Now tell me what you gonna do. Can somebody, anybody tell me why? Hey. Can somebody, anybody tell me why? We die, we die.
Fanny, you wanna read those words so that our listeners can get them?
Sure. So it says, "What's up with murder, y'all? See, my little cousin was hung. Somebody was really wrong. Everybody wants to test us, dog. Then Miss Leezy set up easy to fall. You know why we sinning and crazy intended and ending it when it ends. Want to come again and again and again. Now tell me what you're going to do. Can somebody tell me why? Hey, can somebody tell me why we die? We die. I don't want to die."
Yeah, that's not an uplifting set of lyrics that are there. And so it seems to me is, how do we make sense of those lyrics in light of the cross of Jesus? I mean, Jesus died. And how do we make sense of that in light of the cross of Jesus?
You know, it's... He kind of says it a lot that in this verse, he doesn't want to die and he doesn't understand why people go. He talks about two people, and his cousin and then crazy in this verse. And he's just wondering, you know, why do we have to go? With Jesus, he had a purpose and he knew his purpose, although he told his father during the agony of the garden, you know, I don't want to do this, but may it be done according to your will. So of course death is scary and no one likes it. But there, you know, there has to be a purpose to all of this, I feel.
So in a sense, the despair and kind of the frustration and the emotions mm-hmm. that are in here, are almost to some extent without hope.
Yes, without hope.
Without hope. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the realities is that, you know, death without the cross is without hope.
Yes, correct.
It's the mm-hmm. final word, but not because of the cross.
Yep.
Did you have any other thoughts when you kind of listened to this verse?
This is, you know, I tried to listen to the song with the crucifixion in mind, and I did make that connection that you just said. If there was no resurrection, then this song would be all we have, basically. Like, this would be it. And I would basically cry myself to sleep if this is all we had, because he, you know, throughout, there are a group of maybe 5 or 6 guys that sing this whole thing. But throughout the entire thing, each of them has like this this emotion of darkness and despair and like asking, why are we all gone? Why are we leaving? Why has my uncle died? My cousin died? But I think that the cross is the only thing that brings us back to that hope.
But you know, Fanny, I think that's right. But there are other parts of this rather, I say it, depressing song mm-hmm. that do have a little bit of hope that's within them. There's another mm-hmm. clip that, you know, does talk a little bit on about God and a plan to get to heaven. Let's listen to that clip.
Heaven, follow the Lord all 24/7 days. God is who we praise, even though the devil's all up in my face, but he's keeping me safe and in my place. Say grace to the gates of race, without a change to face the judge, and against my soul with books.
So, now that's a little bit of a different theme mm-hmm. that's in this song. You want to read those lyrics to our listeners?
Sure. It starts, God bless you working on a plan to heaven. Follow the Lord all 24/7 days. God is who we praise, even though the devil's all up in my face. But he keeping me safe and in my place, say grace for the case to race with a chance to face the judge. And I'm guessing my soul won't budge.
Well, I think that's got a little bit of a lot different
yeah.
feel than the first one. So tell me about this one, Fanny.
Well, this one's, you know, this, like I said, without the cross, I mean, without the resurrection, the cross, you know, death would be just gloomy all the time. And I think because of the resurrection, this brings us back to a more hopeful feeling. And it brings these guys back to, you know, death is bad, but God has my back, basically.
But tell me about the line. Tell me about the line in there which says, "My soul won't budge." What do you make of that line?
I think that before that it says, "For the case to race with a chance to face the judge," and I'm guessing my soul won't budge. It's the line right after that says, "No mercy for thugs," which we didn't play, but that's what it says. And I think that they lead more into being a sinner, but asking God for forgiveness. So often, you know, when we sin and we have these things that we're struggling with, our soul doesn't let go until we come close to God and are remorseful. So maybe that's what he's talking about. I'm only, you know, looking at the verse right after that that says no mercy for thugs. And I think that's what he means.
But isn't it interesting? I think even in kind of our Catholic faith mm-hmm. is that we do believe in forgiveness.
Right.
And we kind of believe that God forgives us. Mm-hmm. And we kind of believe that we should forgive one another. The prayer in the Our Father says, forgive us as we forgive others. Mm-hmm. But it does seem to me that sometimes the hardest forgiveness that we have is forgiving ourselves.
Yeah, you're right.
And so I guess the author thinks of himself as a thug.
Yeah.
And therefore not worthy of being forgiven.
Yeah, you're right. But yet then he says, God is who we praise. And even before that in the song, or after that, it says, pray, we pray, we pray. So it's, he does feel like that about himself, but he knows that God's the only one.
Well, you know what I think it is, Fanny, and it's not contradictory, but I think he's trying to convince himself.
Maybe, yes.
That he could be forgiven by God. So over and over again, he's turning to God, and he's doing it. One of the things that is kind of in a, you know, in a reality in our Catholic Church, when we kind of talk about the sacrament of confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, oftentimes we say, you know, sometimes we forget our sins. So we're kind of, we're asking forgiveness for maybe those things I've done that I've forgotten to say. And sometimes we're asking for forgiveness for maybe things we did a long time ago, etc. Well, sometimes I kind of think it's important to say to people, well, stop. Stop for a minute. If it happened a long time ago and you asked forgiveness and you did that, well, can you trust in God that you were forgiven?
Yeah.
And sometimes things that we've done really stay with us for a long, long time. And we need to kind of, it's easier to say let go because God's let go.
Right.
God's kind of forgiven us and go forward. So anyway, so let's now get a little bit more positive. Let's get positive because let's now deal with Katy Perry and Rise. And why don't we listen to a clip from her song?
This is no mistake, no.
All right, Fanny, you want to read those lyrics for our audience? They're a little bit easy to understand, but still, we need a little help.
Okay. It starts with, this is no mistake, no accident. When you think the final nail is in, think again. Don't be surprised. I will still rise. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. You know it. You know it. Still rise. Just fight it. Just fight it. Don't be surprised. I will still rise.
So what do you think of that?
I mean, it's a lot happier.
Right.
Than Bone Thugs and Harmony. It's funny because when I first listened to the song, you know, it's a powerful song. But the connection that she makes obviously with the nail and, you know, the nails on the cross, et cetera, et cetera. So it's saying like even though my nails are in or whatever, or you know, I've been beaten down or any of those things, I will still rise. I will still come again. And that's, I don't know. That's like completely the resurrection right there.
Well, and again, I mean, Katy Perry's background is kind of very Christian from her upbringing, right?
Yeah.
How about her parents were what?
I'm not sure. I know she's Christian. I'm not sure what denomination she is.
So what do you think in that? When she uses the word nails, is she thinking about the nails of the cross?
I think so.
And even though that seemed completely the last word, definitive on Good Friday, well, the reality is that it wasn't the last word. So it seems to me that this is almost a perfect kind of Holy Week song. It talks about the nails. But that it's not over. So it's a very, you know, kind of in a sense, it's not an easy song, but neither is the mystery of the cross and the resurrection. They're not easy songs. They're not easy realities. And yet here in this relatively recent song, contemporary song, we have that resurrection theme that is there. So anyway, here as we are on Just Love in our first, in our kind of holy week in the midst of the sacred Triduum, we kind of looked in some contemporary music, which so many millions of people are listening to find in those songs themes of the Easter mystery, of the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, we don't eliminate the world from our celebrations of these great mysteries, but we bring the world into them so that the world might be transformed in accord with the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Let's take a break. This is Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out.
Ooh. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. If you want to learn more about what we talk about here on Just Love, check out my blog at justloveblog.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at MSGRKSullivan. And we kind of talk about some of the same topics we talk about here, a few different topics. So please check out my blog and check me out following me on Twitter. You know, we have on Just Love done a lot with dealing with the issue of immigration. It's a very, very important part of our Catholic thought, our Catholic social teaching. It's a tremendous amount of the work that our Catholic charities agencies do throughout the country. Tom, there was a recent decision made by the department, the Census Bureau, that administers the census, which is mandated by the Constitution every 10 years, to add a question which is fairly controversial in this time. Tell us what that is.
Sure, Monsignor. Well, the Commerce Department earlier this week on Monday said that it was going to be adding a question about citizenship that has not appeared in the census since the 1950s. The administration said the data was necessary in order to enforce the 1965 Voting Act. And of course, Monsignor, as you know, Every 10 years, the U.S. Census Bureau undertakes the task of tallying up all the people living here in the United States to record basic information such as age, sex, race. The Founding Fathers actually said that this should happen in the Constitution. They thought it was mandated as part of the Constitution. But the problem with including the immigration issue is including the question will almost certainly guarantee there's a severe undercount of the population and will probably result in faulty data, which will have negative effects on public service for at least a decade.
Okay, so that's, I, again, if you follow me on Twitter, I did tweet about this. You know, everything is in context. And given what's going on in the country right now about immigration, asking a question like that has some real, real difficulties. Maybe in another time there'd be no problem with regard to it, but in this time it strikes me as a very, very problematic thing to do if the goal of the census is to make sure that we count as many people who are here in the country, that everybody participates, that we try to get as good and accurate information as possible. You know, the reality is, and I do think probably if we just people raise their hands, because if you just think about it, you'd say, well, OK, if a person isn't a U.S. citizen, oh, yeah, they must be illegal. Well, no, that's not the case. There are many, many people who are legal permanent residents in the United States, people here who are completely in accord with the law, who haven't violated any of the laws, who are living in our communities, neighborhoods. They just have not gotten citizenship. And so I think what you communicate sometimes is, well, citizens, yes, everybody else is illegal. And that's just not the case. And so so my thought is this time around, it's not a good idea to ask a question on immigration because of the atmosphere. It will just certainly help people to find an excuse not to participate, not to respond because of the fear that they have. And let's be real about it. The census is critically important because it determines which state gets more votes in Congress. It determines formulas by which certain allocations of federal funds are given out. And so, you know, there is a political agenda that is part of this in trying to suppress the census data in some areas, increase it in other areas. So, again, Tom, thanks for mentioning that note. And it just is one of those situations where it seems to me at this time not a good thing to do because of the atmosphere and the volatility of what's going on around the immigration issue. You know, one of the things that we are just, again, which happened just a few days ago, was that March for Our Lives. And Catholic Charities made it possible for probably about 100 young people to go to that march, people who wouldn't have had the resources to kind of pay for their own transportation to go there. So we sponsored a couple of buses so that young people who didn't have the means to go on their own, if they wanted to, they could participate. And I myself went up and we said a prayer at one of the buses that went off in front of our Catholic Charities agencies at Abraham House. And there were some young people on the bus from another Catholic Charities affiliated agency, Casita Maria. There were people from the Pierre Toussaint Scholarship Program that were there, you know, probably about 50 young people and their chaperones who were on the bus. And I was kind of privileged enough to interview one of the young people who was there, and she was gracious enough to allow me to interview her. Let's listen to that interview.
So, Diana, just tell me, is this the first time you've gone on a trip like this for an issue that you care about?
Yeah, it's my first time.
And tell me about where you're going and why you're going.
I'm going to Washington, D.C. to march for my life and the future children.
And why did you decide to get up at like 5 o'clock on Saturday morning to go here?
Because I feel my voice matters and I want to stand among other people and I want to be represented. I want there to be a change.
Now, Diana, you go to school, right?
Yes, I'm a high schooler.
Where do you go to school?
I go to City College Academy of the Arts.
And what are your other classmates and students saying about today and about the march?
Well, they don't really have much access they don't really have the resources to be able to go, but I do hear them speaking about it and how amazing they think it is and how much they would like to be there, and they think that it's amazing that I'm going and I'm representing their voices as well.
And what would you like to see as the kind of the result of the march? What changes would you like to see?
Well, first and foremost, I would like the representatives to really, really think about our opinions and our voices, and I want them to not only hear the voices of adults, but understand that we are scared and that our voices matter and that we care, and so should they, because we are the future.
So, Diana, when you go to school, are you scared?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I am scared. You never know what's going to happen. And until I know that I'm fully secure, there's always going to be that doubt.
Thanks so much for going on the trip, Diana.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks so much for going on the trip.
So that was one of our young people with our Alianza program in Northern Manhattan in the Bronx who spoke about what it meant to her to be able to participate in this. So the young people spent probably half a day, 12 hours, by the time they left in the morning, the time they came back. I think we have one clip from somebody at the end of the trip. So let's listen to this clip on somebody at the end of the day.
And you are, young lady?
I'm Nayeli Anacena.
Oh.
And I want to thank you for having us here. And it was a blessing to see that other people wanted the community to make a change, and like they were all there agreeing to the things that are happening in the country and that they're bad and that like we matter and that the president is not doing nothing about it. And you know, seeing that many people there and even famous people like Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus go there and show and speak up for them. And I want to say thank you to you for having us again. It was a really fun experience and I loved it every second of it.
Oh, wow.
And we are
Costanza Maria!
I love it, I love it. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so that was one of our Catholic Charities agencies in the Bronx, a youth program. They do a lot of after-school programming, some arts and culture. And those kids got up at, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning to get on a bus to go to Washington. And this was 12 hours later. They were still pretty alive and enthused for being there. And, you know, it is something that is something we have to kind of figure out what's going to go on. But to be very proud, I think, of young people getting engaged, expressing their voice. And, you know, there one other thing happened just this past week. Tom, who died?
Oh, Monsignor, we had a major death of someone very important in the United States, Linda Brown, who was the schoolgirl at the center of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court case that rejected racial segregation in America, Brown versus Board of Ed, died in Topeka, Kansas. She was 76 years old.
And this was a young woman who I think was probably around 12. I'm not quite sure how old she was when the, maybe a little bit younger than that, when she said, well, why do I have to go across town to school? Because the kids who I play with here, they're going right here. And she had to go across town to school. And her father began the process of bringing that case, which ultimately wound up in Brown versus the Board of Education, in which they overturned a long-standing decision that said you could have separate but equal education, and was part of the whole process for integrating educational systems throughout the country. And again, I think it's a little bit, I find it instructive that once more it was that young girl who was instrumental in doing it. Yes, with her family, with the support of her family. And now we're right in the midst of another young person's movement, which at this time dealing with violence, dealing with guns. But I have to say, interestingly, I listened to a few of the clips from the trip in Washington. And the reality is that they did expand it beyond the issue of merely guns. It dealt with mental health issues. It dealt with other kinds of trauma. It dealt with other issues that needed to be dealt with. So, again, I think, and we are in Holy Week, the fact that people are raising their voices about transforming the world to make it better is clearly part of the message of Easter, that we're not stuck in a dark place. We're not stuck in a tomb, but that the world can be a better place. So why don't we take a break on Just Love, Just Love, Just Love God, Just Love Your Neighbor, Just Love Yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. Join us when we come back in just a moment on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. Our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. We're in the midst of the sacred Triduum, this most holy week. Actually, for many of you, you'll be listening to this between the cross and the resurrection. And so we've been trying to talk about this Just Love show. We've been talking about where do we find the cross in some contemporary music? Where do we find the resurrection in some contemporary music? Because we don't exclude what's going on in the world around us from these three most sacred days, but we bring them in so that they might be united with the suffering and cross of Jesus and that they may be transformed into his resurrection. And so let's listen to a clip from Billy Graham that talks about the resurrection.
Yes, Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead, and that day, that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter, when Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome went to the grave expecting to anoint a dead body, they saw the angel sitting there, and they said, "Where is Jesus?" The angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." I submit to you tonight that that's the greatest news the world has ever heard. He is not here. He has conquered the grave. He's alive. I don't believe there's a fact in ancient history today so well proven as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But even if there was no proof, no historical proof, no scientific proof, and there is, I would still believe it, because I believe this book is God's inspired word, and the whole early church went up and down the country preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the thing that shook the Roman Empire. That a man had risen from the dead, that he was alive, that death could not hold him.
You know, I have to tell you, listeners, I always get depressed whenever I listen to Billy Graham preach, because I just wish I could copy the stuff he does, because it is so strong, so powerful, so straightforward. And it's interesting where he talked about the proof of the resurrection. Some of you listeners may recall that, a number of months back, we had the photo journalist from National Geographic who was at the uncovering of the tomb when they were doing some renovation repair that was there, and she recorded it. And there was a little fear and trepidation among some who said, "Ooh," I think one of the people in her crew said to her, "Boy, this is so important. I hope we don't find the bones that are there." Well, they didn't. They didn't. We believe he is risen from the dead. And when they opened the tomb, there was no evidence. But there was evidence that it did go back pretty, pretty far, very close to the time of Jesus. So, we do proclaim Christ risen from the dead. And I am delighted that we have as our guest now on Just Love, Hector Molina, who is a Catholic motivangelist and who has a variety of things that he does. Hector Molina, thank you so much for being with us on Just Love.
Oh, thank you for having me, Monsignor. I get excited, too, when I listen to Billy Graham.
Yeah, I get humbled, too, by the same time. So, Hector, tell me, let me cut to the chase, okay? Mm-hmm. We're getting near to celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, and there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. There's a lot of evil. How do you, as a preacher, how do you preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the midst of so much suffering and pain in our world?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, Monsignor. Really, what we announce, in essence, and what you just heard there in that clip, that's the kerygma. That's the core of the gospel, announcing Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And really, that's the essence of the good news. And so as an evangelizer, and I certainly wouldn't exclude any other baptized Christian, because the church teaches us that we're all called to share the gospel and to give witness to this resurrection. That's the duty of every Christian, that we ultimately have good news to proclaim. I mean, ultimately, Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered the greatest of enemies. You know, you talk about the suffering that unfolds in our world and has really from the dawn of time. You know, we're born into a broken and fallen world. And we have to struggle with our own concupiscence, our own evil tendencies. And we see this evil unleashed with such great magnitude in our world, especially in our own age. You know, St. John Paul II called this the culture of death. Well, that culture continues to march on. And when you see what's happening in our world and even in our own country, the level of division and evil that is being unleashed, oftentimes there are people who struggle with finding some kind of meaning in this, and that's understandable. They want to know where God is in the midst of all this suffering and depravity and human affliction. Well, God certainly is with us. He, 2,000 years ago, bore the sins of humanity on the cross of Calvary. All of this evil that is being perpetrated by mankind, Jesus took it upon himself. in the scourging that we're about to commemorate on Good Friday. I mean, his skin was pierced, his body bruised and battered. He was afflicted for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, as Isaiah declares. And he received all of this punishment in order to redeem us. He was risen from the dead in order that we might be raised up with him. And so in preaching the gospel, we cannot speak only of a Good Friday, but that Good Friday leads us, Monsignor, to that Easter Sunday, the triumph of the resurrection. And the good news is that you and I have a share in that by virtue of our baptism. And if we live our lives in obedience to God's command and his word, then we will have a share in that resurrection as well. These afflictions that we endure are but momentary. We're going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ in glory.
So we're speaking with Hector Molina, who is the chief executive officer, Catholic evangelist from Casting Net Ministries. And we're speaking about the Paschal mystery. We're speaking about the resurrection of Jesus and preaching about it. Hector, correct me if I'm wrong, but my own kind of take on our Catholic Christian preaching is that sometimes we kind of gravitate towards being able to preach a lot more on the cross. And we kind of stop there, and we don't get to Easter Sunday. I mean, am I just listening to the wrong people?
Perhaps, Monsignor. I don't know if you're going to name any names, but
no.
I certainly can understand that. I think there is, in some quarters, maybe a tendency to ruminate on the passion and the suffering of our Lord without making that leap in giving people hope, because ultimately, there can be no crown without the cross. We have to endure that Good Friday. We have to enter into that passion with our blessed Lord in order to be able to rejoice with him in the resurrection. So there is no shortcut. And I think conversely, there are many preachers and pulpiteers out there within the church and outside of the church.
Did you say puppeteers?
Pulpiteer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure you weren't talking about all of us preachers as puppeteers.
No, not puppeteers.
Okay, I just wanted to get it straight.
Who tend to focus on a cotton candy gospel, a gospel that's devoid of the cross, of suffering, of sacrifice, and that's no gospel at all. We can't have the good news unless we have the bad news, and we have to deal with the reality of sin and its consequences. But to your point, I think it would be sinful, in essence, for us to focus exclusively on the passion and not to lead people to that wondrous glory of the resurrection, because that's ultimately what we look forward to. We look forward to rising ourselves in the resurrection on the last day. We look forward to our own glorification in Christ, who makes it possible for us to rise from the grave, to be able to rise in glory along with him. So absolutely, I think we would not be doing the people of God justice if we were to solely focus on the passion and the suffering and to not lead them to contemplate, to be able to reflect upon in gratitude and excitement and wonder the glory of the resurrection. I mean, this is the essence of Easter hope, is rising with Christ. We have to lead people to that.
And I think, Hector, you've said that so well. And again, I do think we tend to be in a world and a society which really likes extremes. I mean, that's it. And I think there's even in my own world, a religious extremism. And one of those, I could go in either way first, but let me go with the one way, which is, as I call it, the unacceptable, I'm okay, you're okay version of religion. I mean, basically, I'm not okay, you're not okay, but Jesus is okay, and that's okay. And like, you know, but there is a part of the kind of our civil and what I call it watered down religion that doesn't want to talk about the cross. And like, you know, let's just go on. That's it. But, you know, there's also, I think, at the other extreme, there's people who kind of want to talk about the cross as almost an end in itself. And the more I kind of denigrate myself, the more I suffer, the more I feel bad about myself, well, I guess that's the more religious I am. And And I think that's part of the extreme we live in our world, that, you know, something is all right, something's all left. And really, the reality is both is the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Easter mystery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We certainly are not to be drawn to these extremes, as you put it. And I think you put it very well. I'd say in my own observation is that the latter tends to be what predominates in our world today. You know, you mentioned the, you know, kind of the watered down gospel that is devoid of any mention of the cross and of suffering and really of Jesus's fundamental requirement for discipleship. I mean, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. We're talking about self-abnegation, take up his cross daily and follow me. I mean, there's no avoiding the cross if you want to follow Jesus Christ. You need to walk in his footsteps. Now, that certainly is not an end to itself. We walk with Jesus and we accompany him to Calvary and we share in his sufferings, not that we remain there on Golgotha, but that we experience that resurrection power, that we are glorified as he was glorified after 3 days. And so really, I think your point is well taken. There needs to be a balance. We need to enter into this Triduum mindful of the fact that we are following Jesus through his passion, his death, which leads to the resurrection. And so my encouragement to your listeners would be enter into this Paschal mystery and do all that you can to truly center yourself on what is being commemorated here, which is really reflected in our own lives. And to the degree that we can enter into that mystery of our faith, we are going to be that much more prepared to suffer with Jesus in order that we might rise with Jesus.
Hector, listen, I want to thank you. This is a busy time for everybody involved in the work of talking about and living the gospel. I just want to thank you for your ministry. I've listened to a few of your tapes, and you have the incredible ability to speak in a way that gets people to embrace the fullness of the mystery of Christ. So thank you. May God bless you in your ministry. And thanks for spending a few time with our listeners here on Just Love.
Oh, you're welcome, Monsignor. God bless you and happy Easter.
Thank you. You know what? I do want to take it one step further because, yes, it's Jesus risen from the dead. And so I think I'd like to listen to a clip from Bishop Fulton Sheen, which talks about Jesus showing himself after the resurrection to Thomas.
When he rose from the dead, he made many appearances, as we have already said. And one of the appearances of the resurrection, for which we did not give many details, was a week after. All of the other apostles had seen our blessed Lord. They had become convinced, but only after much evidence and after much doubting, and our blessed Lord comes into the upper room and says, "Peace be to you." Now, Thomas had refused to believe. Thomas, one of the apostles, he said, "I will not believe until I have seen the mark of nails on his hands, until I have put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hands into his side. You will never make me believe." Now our blessed Lord appears. He speaks to Thomas. "Let me have thy finger. See, here are my hands. Let me have thy hand. Put it into my side. Cease thy doubting and believe." And throwing himself on his knees, he said to the risen Savior, "Thou art my Lord and my God."
Well, so, Fanny, we've heard now, we heard Billy Graham. We heard Fulton Sheen. So when are you going to begin preaching?
No, I don't think that's for me, Monsignor.
So which style of preaching do you like? What's the style of preaching that speaks to your heart, that speaks to your faith?
I love Fulton Sheen. I do. I mean, I love a lot of people, but he, when I first started to listen to him, he simplifies everything for me.
So, but Fulton Sheen died before you were born.
Yeah, he did.
But his way of preaching and his message still speaks to you?
Yeah, because he it's like he tells you a story, and then at the end he connects all the little pieces together. It's very interesting.
And that's intriguing. Now, I'm pretty sure I was alive when his show was on the air. I never got to see it. I never once watched his show. Now, I don't know why. I just didn't do it. So it is intriguing to me that for some people, he still has that test of time. So anyway, so listen, I think we've had a good exploration this Holy Week as we're in the Triduum of the mysteries of Christ's cross and resurrection. Thank you for listening. But most importantly, let's more deeply enter into that mystery of the death and resurrection. The cross, we need to take up our cross each day. But we don't take it up as an end in itself. We take it up so that we can unite ourselves with Jesus and be transformed. And one of the things that is the real essence of our Easter celebration even now is that the new life of the risen Jesus is not just for the kingdom of God in heaven at the end of time, and it's not just for a total transformation of everything, but the resurrection is alive now, and it can be part of our lives. There can be partial living of that resurrection even now. And that's what we're called to do in celebrating the Paschal mystery. A most blessed Easter to all of you. Thank you for being with us on Just Love. Just love God, your neighbor, yourself. This is the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Listening to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.